Towards the northwest of Iridiana is the country of Tellus, a kingdom more connected to the land and the earth than the rest. Their homes nestled into the hills, the trees, the mountainsides, all to preserve nature for what it is in its natural beauty. The king and his wives worked towards peace and rebuilding the lands, which were scarred by random wild magic surges from the ancient long-forgotten gods, as well as the past devastation from the dragons. With all these injuries, the restless mountain range is littered with caves, crevices, and openings to the Underdark, and the darkness that lurks between the spaces. The majority of the Daybreak Wardens reside near these places. However, to the south of the main cities and west of the mountains, a fog of uneasiness rests over the land, a stillness that is hard to settle and improve upon. The ground haunted and cold, an eeriness that chills the soul, even during the hottest days of summer. In Tellus, there is a lake 9 days south of the capital, known as the Obsidian Basin. It may seem daunting because its namesake, as well as how the water appears. However, the water is clear as pure glass, while the sands that dust the bottom glitter like the evening sky. Life seems to flourish in the waters, easy to see, but with the illusion of its clarity, it's hard to tell the true depths of how far it goes. During the winter months, the water is fresh and cold to the touch, the land threatening ice to form, but never quite cold enough. Around the lake, just outside a small town, we find a homely caravan of large carts and wagons, as well as a few horses from the Animok clan? A mixed group of storytellers and healers that travel up and down the land range of Tellus, offering joy, song, and comfort for those in need of peace. However, this morning, as Kitki's rays peek through the mountainside from the east, the folk rested in the quiet peace of the lakeside, the world muted of birdsong, the winds of winter dancing with the subtle chill. A half-elf, submitted by our patron Hoodlum Kira, in what appears to be his late 30s or so, harmlessly whistles a silly, jaunty tune as he walks to a particular spot, his bright green eyes glinting with a touch of mischief as he pushes back his short black hair with one hand. His robes, which were embroidered with snakes curling in various circle patterns at the hem, did not hide the clink and chime of his chainmail underneath. The sounds announcing his presence to my player. Could you introduce yourself and your character for me, please?
Hey, I am Devin Davenport, and I'll be playing Balfour Longtusk, the Loxodon. Do you want a character description?
Yeah, tell me what he looks like. This is the time.
Yeah, so he's a humanoid elephant. If you've not dealt with those in D&D, they look really cool. He has like long tusks. He's got a trunk. He's got big elephant ears, but he does stand like a human. I don't know how many fingers you'd say they have. Maybe like three, like, you know, kind of like the big ones that could still grip things with like the nails.
Mm-hmm. It's your headcanon, man. Let's go with it.
So there you go. Three finger things that, you know, like, you know, animal humanoids tend to have, as you know. Mm-hmm. As far as armor goes, if you think of like the old school, like Roman armor, it's like strips of metal and then like this kind of the skirt thing. So that he has like the shoulder metal, covers the torso, and then has like several pouches around a waist belt. Mm-hmm. And then that drops into like that metal skirt with greaves and basically covering his whole body, carries a shield, has a mace. He is like a rust color himself. His skin appears to have like a rust color, but you can see where parts of that, maybe like where it's been wiped away in places, is like a bluish color, like, or a gray, I'd say elephant color. So you can tell like it's like a dirt he's rubbed on himself, you know.
Cool beans. What's he doing right now?
What time of day is it?
We're looking at morning. The first rays of Kitki, our sun.
With the first rays of Kitki, Balfour will be in a prayer or meditation. It would appear to as meditation to others, but the listeners will know that it's prayer.
Oh shit. So probably peaceful as he does his business, right?
Mm-hmm.
The half elf will come approach, not as quiet as he can, but definitely not stealth and very stealthy. He might think he is. And he'll try to approach. You can hear the motions of him trying to like go for your head to perhaps give you a wet willy or something of a similar sort.
I think as I probably sit crisscross applesauce there, like close to the lake, close to the water, as it's lapping up against. And then as he goes to do that, I simply just like very easily bend my head away as he swoops across. And then I'll say, here goes the character voice. You don't know what it's going to sound like. You're as loud as the bells at noon. I didn't like that. Let's try it again. You're as loud as the... I don't know. What am I doing here? You're as loud as the bells at noon. I'll take it. Let's do that.
I like it. Well, if you didn't have ears so big, then maybe I might have been able to make it. He'll claim chuckle.
I will throw my hand out to the right to like make him follow that, but my trunk will go left and swoop a leg out from underneath him just to make him fall to the ground.
Oh, you easily catch him. He hits the ground with a clink. And he kind of grumbles.
How can I help you this morning?
I mean, how can you help this morning? I just wanted to join you and find out what's going on.
You know I do my prayer every morning. Would you like to join me?
Yeah, I could do that, but not to your guy. Or your guys. However many you had. I like the one.
Prayer is prayer. Whoever answers it is up to you.
I get it. Yeah, he'll like go and sit right next to you. Kind of like sit crisscross, but then kind of like start sitting in a silly pose. But you seem like this is most appropriate for someone who appreciates the more mischievous of the options of the old gods.
I feel like he probably is fidgeting quite a bit as well still.
Oh, and yeah, so, fidgeter, big like, fidgeter.
While I am still just kind of facing out to the water with eyes closed, my trunk will reach over and like grab his head and turn it to look away. I know he's looking at me, to turn it to look out into the water and then go back.
He'll look out and then you'll just feel him like starts like turning his body to face you again, but going the opposite direction.
So then I'll just sigh. Fine. On to the moves then. And I'll stand up, kind of gather myself and begin to walk toward, there's not like, because where we are, I figure the mountains are pretty far away, but there is maybe like a shorter hill that I like to be up high on to practice, the mountain peak, stances.
This is the fun part that I can join you on much better. He'll kind of like wiggle his arms, kind of like one would a snake. Like he wants to dance and move.
That's very good. I like that. Have you been practicing?
Practicing enough.
We shall see. And we just start taking the way up.
Yeah. You climb the mountain to get to your little spot.
How far is Caesar behind me? How long am I on top before he shows up?
He definitely seems winded, maybe about halfway through, but he'll catch up.
I feel like I had enough time to get back up top and start meditation or prayer again, knowing that I would catch a few minutes of peace without him.
You'll hear him. For sure. It's not hard. No matter how much he tries to sneak, he doesn't really do it. But you hear him approach from you from behind, and there's a little crinkle that happens, and above your head a bunch of leaves fall.
I've told you no decorations.
But it makes it more fun. You blend in with the trees more.
I regret taking you under my wing.
You know I'm too much fun.
You are too much of something, indeed. Fun is not the choice of word I would have chosen.
He was kind of like shrugging off. I was like, all right, well, if you want to be serious, let's do prayer. Like, what? He'll sit down next to you. How does that look, Devin? Like, when you do your prayer and stuff?
Yeah, so it's like the so I said crisscross applesauce. I'm going to take that back. It's actually like his feet touch together. He's too big to sit crisscross. There's no way. It's like, I can't do it. So feet are together, more like a butterfly style. And then he, I'd probably just say stereotypical, like wrists on knees, like relaxing. And then it's like deep breaths in, counting to five, and then exhale with five. And it's just that for a long time, just focusing on the breath.
Is there any like thoughts to whoever you're reaching out? Like, what are those beings like? Like, who?
Yeah, that one's easy because in our tradition, so what we call the Anakim, but we more commonly call it Seeds of the Wind. That's what that means. I've looked it up on Google. It's called Seeds of the Wind. And so what that means for us is we travel a lot. We're just picked up and carried wherever life might take us. But along the way, in order for us to grow and become a seed that sprouts and becomes useful to other people, we live by certain traditions, if you will, or what we're going to call them as ideals. And so the one that I have been granted by whatever power, I still don't know what that is yet, but I know that it's out there, is my first ideal. Hang on, because I have to pull it up here. All right. And so it's almost like if I'm prompting Caesar to say these things with me, he like should know that this is coming after just a brief period of silence after we've been breathing for a while. And I'll say, life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination. And that mantra is just kind of repeated over and over again for a few minutes.
You'll hear your friend Caesar kind of mimic the words playfully, of course, but it seems appropriate for a guy who has picked the trickster as one to follow more often than not. And as you sit there and as the rays of and warmth of Kiki beat down upon you and you're feeling the vibes of your spiritualness, a feeling overtakes you. It's kind of warm at first and familiar. However, very quickly it comes in. There's a feeling of darkness and shadow zooming. It's not comfortable like the rest of night, but one of foreboding and worry. There is a deep melancholy and a sense of urgency. A vision of a road to travel pops into your mind. A compass and directions pointing you towards the south. The sun rises and falls many times over, as the world seems to rotate day and night and day and night, experiencing a flash before your eyes as it seems a couple months of time goes by. A windmill appears in your vision, and the warmth of spring greets you. The smell of sweet honey in the air, and a large glowing emerald tree appears and then starts to wither. As quickly as the vision came, it fades away. In your heart, in your soul, you know that you don't have much time. You've got about 2 months to get to this place.
I think as that flashes it, how often has this ever happened to me at this point, Avon, to my character?
The first time it happens is actually tied to a memory. It came to you when, I think, some point in your past, You were sitting at a waterfall doing similar meditations, but could you describe how that looks to me? I think it was like certain poses and things.
Yeah. So this is when I met a certain individual. Can we name that individual?
I would like to know how you're standing first.
Okay. So no matter where I go, my mornings are the same. I go out and I do my prayer / meditation. And then I practice my stances from the Mountain Peaks dance. Mm-hmm. And on this particular occasion, I'm using the weight of at the base of a waterfall to practice what's called the boulder counter, which is basically just using the weight of the opponent and turning it back to them to do a counterattack. And so I'm oblivious because the sound of the water is pretty loud to me. So it blocks out a lot of other things going on. What I don't realize is it above me from the very top of the water fountain is some stone has broken off a large piece and is coming toward me.
I think I'd like to think this is near the beginning of spring, perhaps a few years ago, maybe. And the ice and whatever has dislodged the rock. Shooting it off to the side. And very quickly, without warning, you are tackled through the waterfall. You hear the clanks of metal and a view of a person coming through with pale white skin and dark raven hair.
And you're just like, as I'm surprised. And I will tumble forward, I'd say 10 to 15 feet. Like I'm pushed. It's a great force that foot shoves me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's weird is when you look up to this person covered in water and you're on the ground, it's surprising. It's a slender Eladrin elven man. It seemed to be in winter still, looking down at you, pushing back some of his hair to be like, "Oh, you almost got crushed. You okay?"
And I look up, look down, and I'll say to him, "I was waiting for that boulder."
You were waiting for the boulder. He'll start laughing and then offer you a hand. Well, I haven't heard that many crazy things, but you know.
And I'll take his hand and say, "From where did you come?"
"Oh, over there." He'll gesture to the other side of the waterfall. "Name's Oisin." Don't look at chat, Devin. That's why I turn it off.
I can't help it. I'll say, Oishi.
Oishi.
That's a unique name.
Thanks. I like it. It's a good time.
Where is that from? Names are important.
They are. It was given to me by a friend. I decided to lose some old ones, so this one's me.
Well, my name is Balfour Longtusk. I am the hope of my people. The pride of the seed.
Yeah. Seems about right for you as a person. I like it. You doing okay? You know, brush with death. I know you were waiting for the boulder, but like...
Death comes to us as it should. Had I died, it would have been with honor. But seeing as you have saved me from an apparent demise, it is fortunate that we should meet.
I think so as well.
What brings you to this part of my land?
Oh, just work and business. He'll like point to his gray warden. Wrong genre, Avon. Daybreak Warden. symbol of the torch and a lantern in the sunrise. And... like, just inspecting the area, come out and train people, but sometimes help folk too. Heard the cracks, saw that, and figured well, might as well save a guy from dying under a rock.
I imagine I know who the Daybreak Wardens are, yes?
Yeah, you would know them to be a good set of people that protect the world from darkness underneath the mountain.
It is a great pleasure to meet a true Daybreak Warden. I know that you also don't have lodging here. I would like to invite you to my home.
Oh,
and provide you dinner for the night.
That's much appreciated. He'll grin. That's it. I'm not looking at chat. Just going away. That sounds great. It saves me from traveling and spending the night out in the woods. Thanks. I could trade you a story or two.
Ooh, and Balfour will light up at that. He's like, ooh, I will also trade you stories.
Oh, well, I have a million and one. I'm an old elf.
I would like to, at some point, I want to tell a couple stories, brief stories, if we get a chance to,
Yeah, sure. How do you think that rest of the day goes? He saves your life, and you go back to camp. I'm sure he's pleasant around everyone. Joy and life of the party.
Okay.
Kind of vibes. Any particular stories?
Well, I think at some point I just kind of watch him from a distance, seeing how he interacts with my people, and seeing that like they all like him as well. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he seems to just be getting along with everyone. Mm-hmm. And so we all feel pretty comfortable around him. But I think at some point we all sit around a fire, and this is where we, as Loxodon people, we exchange stories. My character also has a lot of jewelry. So like in his trunk, he has like nose rings, and in his ears, he has a lot of different sizes, shapes, colors. Mm-hmm. what we do is we store memories in those jewelries, and we have for years and years. So like my family passes down memories and mm-hmm. stories to me through jewelry, and we can pull from those things.
I like it.
And so what I'll do is I'll tap in and I'll say, a trio of commoners, an unlikely band of heroes come together, and they restored a world to normalcy after a demon horde came through magical doors to destroy it from the beyond, and the gods helped. They remembered. So I don't know if it's faux pas, but for us, we talk about the gods here, right, in our own circles.
So he looks at you and tilts his head. Oh, brave to speak of the ancient gods.
They existed. We believe they exist now. Though I know far from these trees, people do not believe.
That is correct. Some would shun you for that. Brave on you to bring up such a story. Interesting one.
It is not the only one.
Oh. It's not often I hear stories that seem positive of them.
Have you not heard of the world covered in water, where magnificent beasts and ships roam the surface? Heroes triumph over a terrible government, but not without the sacrifice of the dragon gods.
He chuckles. Well, that one also sounds quite pleasant. Though, I have to imagine that must be a story of some far-off place far from here. This world is only full of fae and tricksters of the like.
Indeed, but stories come from somewhere, and though so, we cherish them.
And that you are correct.
Well, even my ancestors fought in a war known as the Punic Wars at some point, traveling across the snowy mountains to help some lowly people. Known as the Romans.
Devin, I love it. You know, I like your creativity. That's a fun time. You bring a joy that seems long lost through your stories and your tales. Kind of gives you like a back pat, right? And there's like a familiar warmth that you weren't expecting.
Hmm. And what stories do you bring?
And he can go on about stories. I'll keep them short. He can go on about Zeldarakwa, a hero of long past, one of the first ones most appreciated by all folks, from the old gods to the recent beings. He's a figure of grand stature. Saved the Lady Moon, saved thousands of people in their villages, defeated monsters of sea depths and all sorts of things. He speaks of heroes who conquered the darkness underneath the mountains from before the darkness had returned. And he happily tells you about stories of dragons as well, even though that may be faux pas as well. Dragons aren't appreciated at this current time, but with the Dragon Wars and all, but at one point they still were good. And I like to think some point during the evening when it's quiet, he'll look to you and be like, "Do you wish to continue giving the light onto folk?"
I wish for nothing more.
He'll smile. May the old gods grant you power. And you'll feel a little surge of power, one of warmth, one of comfort. Like there's a light and spark within you to keep on going. Keep on doing as you do.
Oh, he says that to me?
Mm-hmm. He'll kind of grin and playfully wink. As if keeping a secret.
I'll kind of look to him and then look around, and I imagine no one else really is paying attention at that point. It's just kind of a exchange between us as stories are being told, and we're laughing and having a good time. And I'll just kind of confusedly look at him and say, I will continue on. Thank you.
And he'll nod. And I imagine the rest of the night goes fun, right? Stories, food, whatever. And in the morning, he goes on his way.
Well, before as I think about the night, he's obviously saved my life in that instance, whatever I think about. So I'll, you know, the kind of the farewell is, Oishi, you are a savior of mine, and I owe you a great debt. Please, call on me when you need me.
He'll smile. As long as you keep the light and make the world a much better place, I'll call on you if I ever need, but do your best for the rest of the world and all will be well.
The stars will die out before my light does.
He grins. Excellent. And he'll be on his way. And that moment, that feeling of that entire interaction, when you think about that vision that you had gotten about where you need to go, that reflects how that feels in your soul of being called upon.
And so I'm back now with Caesar on mm-hmm. top of the hill or mountain, yeah?
Yeah.
I think he's still being goofy. Like I've just experienced something that's pretty visceral for me, pretty serious.
He's probably trying to check in, like waving his hand in front of your face, like, "Are you okay?"
That's pretty good. I imagine that same thing, and I open my eyes and I kind of shake my head. Caesar, something is amiss.
Well, if something's amiss, maybe there's a mister? He'll grin.
A sailor discovered an enchanted compass that always pointed toward one true purpose. Through its guidance, they understood that pursuing one's passion is the compass to a life filled with wisdom and fulfillment. Caesar, my compass is pointing away from here.
Well, if that is where you have to go, then that is where you have to go, isn't it?
Indeed.
And he'll just go ahead and stand up. I'm trying to make him socially awkward. I'm trying to like do something a little different. So I think he just doesn't get social. He stands up and begins to just slowly go back down the way that he came up.
I think your friend Caesar will follow. So we're like, so where's the compass pointing? Do you want company? I'd probably stay here though, since it's kind of cushy.
I feel that you will make the decision to follow, regardless of my desire.
He kind of shrugs. Well, that's for you to find out later, I guess.
Unless I leave without telling you.
There's also that option as well. When are you going to leave?
I'm not telling you.
He'll grin. Well, I'll just find out.
And so I imagine seeing that snapshot kind of gave me the visual of where I'm going, right?
Mm-hmm. Did you tell anyone besides Caesar, or like, what's your prep for leaving?
Yeah, you know, I think because what a normal day looks like is after I would leave from practicing some of the stances, I'd actually go work as sort of a medic, a healer of sorts, and just in the hospitals or, you know, with the elderly, whatever that might look like. And I do that wherever I go. So I think I would make some final visits just to a few people who know me pretty well or who have, you know, been in this is home base for us where I'm at. I've kind of just come back home to be there for a little while. And then maybe one of the elders or two, nondescript, and then tell them I'm heading back out again. Like the winds call, the seeds must travel.
I think while you're here, one of the elderly folk happily chatters you up. Happy to have your company one last time before you go. They offer you a bag of cookies and offer you a little thing.
Are they peanut butter cookies? Because that's my favorite.
They're totally peanut butter cookies if you want them to be peanut butter cookies. They know you well enough to know that maybe that is what to give you.
It's very elephantists, but I'll take it. Loxodonists, but I'll take it.
They give you a trip, an item for good luck, they tell you.
Ooh.
It's
an elephant tail? Elephant foot?
An elephant foot, no. It's an item by Tasty Pasty, and it is... it's round and circular, and inside you see hovering beads that look like should be kind of like in a dream catcher state, but there's no string keeping them up, and they're all plain and dull, but they're still somehow there, and it's very safe to assume it's magical in nature, though you're not sure what it does.
Ooh, I hate to burst your bubble, Avon, but my character has identify as a spell. I will use that now.
Yeah, sure.
Hold on, let me get it. Yeah. It comes with being well, in this setup I have right now with Claire Paladin.
Yeah, sure. I know the identify spell. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, I don't, so thank goodness. I just know it tells me what a thing is.
It tells you what a thing is, an object, and whatever. You would know it's called the Mystic Dreamcatcher. This item saves you from nightmares in your sleep, providing you a more restful evening. Let's see. There's what the item, how it looks. So, in all, you gain resistance to sleep spells. And the time to sleep or trance is reduced by half. However, you still need to rest to do resting activities to gain the rested condition. So, like, if you sleep 8 hours a night, you need to sleep 4. The other 4 can be doing something simple.
Ooh, okay.
It does require attunement.
Requires attunement. I can work on that.
And that is all you know about it for now.
Okay. All right. So, got this wonderful dream catcher. Do I know what this is? Is this important to our people? Is it a common? I mean, it's not common item. It's magical, but is it something that we get often for travels?
Asking the old person who gave it to you, they will tell you, they say it's a good healing ailment for the the arcane sleepness. Hopefully you don't ever catch it, but otherwise should help you out on your journey if you ever run into something. And you would know the arcane sleepness to be a... It tends to be a sleeping problem, like either insomnia or you sleep too much, you're racked by nightmares or anxiety or something awful keeps you up and you're exhausted. And sometimes there comes a point where you just don't wake up again. But that is the far reaches of that sickness. And we use these items to prevent such a thing. It doesn't happen as much anymore.
This is much appreciated.
Oh, good luck on your journey, dearie. I hope it goes well.
It will go how it is supposed to go.
And with that, I think all your stuff is in order and you go. You travel the rows kind of going based on feeling. And it's certainly an interesting time trying to navigate by what you think was a feeling of Oshin trying to send for you through a weird magic of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Felt great. In the sense of magic. And you go up towards the capital, but not quite. And you go to a town of Crossvale between the mountains. And there... I shouldn't have looked at chat. There, you find yourself looking between a new invention of some sort. It will help your journey go on a much faster. It's called a train.
Have I seen train? Please, because this will determine how I interact with such a beast.
It is such a new item. You have a guy standing outside like, I have the newest, greatest invention. It will make travel go by so much faster. This is the world's first train from Crossvale to the Crimson... Look. Avon forgot the name of the city. The Crimson Look. we'll cut your... travel by half.
I'm going to speak to this guy and say, what do I do to get into the belly of this beast?
Oh, you just hand me a few coins, you get a ticket, and you'll be on your way once everybody boards.
And what is the standard cost?
A silver piece.
That seems fair. Adequate. And I'll make the exchange. Just take right, away.
You get your ticket. And you wait a while. It feels like a long time, even though it sounded like it would be any time. And then somebody comes out from like the front of the train and be like, goes to talk to the guy. And could you roll me a perception check? The city is kind of crowded.
Perception check. I'm going to be the first guy to not do good things. Oh, I have advantage. Why do I have advantage? I ain't going to fight it. Let's see. First roll is an 18. Second roll is a 3. So 18.
with an 18, you can overhear the guy that came out front and be like, man, it's not working right now. The gears aren't turning. It's going to be at least another half a day before we can get this thing running for all these people. You can get them to wait maybe longer.
I'm going to ask, could you tell me what is wrong with this device? This beast?
Some of the gears up front aren't quite functioning right, and there needs to be some fixing. Some parts gotten from over from the blacksmith, and it could take a few hours. Could you roll me an insight?
That's a 9.
Yeah, seems all good. It's going to take a few hours.
I want to go look at it myself because I have proficiency with Smith's tools and I dabble myself.
Oh, neat. Probably look at you and be like, where are you going, sir?
Perhaps I can provide assistance to move this beast on its way.
Do you have the certifications to work on such a machine?
I'm going to reach up and grab an earring that I'm familiar with.
Uh-huh.
On how to work on things, and I'm going to pull from it just a basic understanding of how things might work. Just basic mechanics. Yeah. Listen, level 10 train mending. It's in one of these earrings. I don't have enough time to fix it, so I have to do it by hand.
Uh-huh. Of course the train mending comes back.
Well, I just imagine I've put pieces of, you know, armor together. I've worked with metal. So, like, even though this contraption is, like, probably out of my depth, maybe just looking at it, because, like, I don't know. You think about Dwayne with computers. He can probably, like, look at something and go, and what's going on with this? Just based on what I know. I mean, I can cobble some things together. I want to try that.
He'll like go in front of you and stop you. He's like, you don't have the certification, sir. You cannot look at this.
I agree. I'm not gonna fight him. I agree. Yeah, he's right. I don't have him.
He'll kind of like stand in front, kind of like a little huffed up and trying to bulk himself up for a small human man against the Loxodon. You know, it's kind of a funny sight, but you know.
I'm sorry for the inconvenience. I'll depart at this time. And I'll just turn and walk back toward, I guess, the platform, the wedding platform.
Yeah. When you get back to the platform, you would notice something seems amiss. And you're missing 2 gold.
Shoot, hold on, let me see how mad I am first before I know how much gold I have.
Yeah, your coin purse feels a little lighter.
Okay. I'll say, and I'll know what happened. I'm not a fool. They must have needed it. And then I'll close my coin purse. But I will put it somewhere like deeper inside of my body for my armor. I'm gonna swallow this bag and then in 3 days I'll have it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So you wait at the train station, and the afternoon sun starts to roll down into the evening as twilight starts to pass, and it feels like the hours are not matching up to how fast this guy said he was going to go. Do you choose to stick with the train, or would you like to move on elsewhere?
Devin feels bamboozled. Balfour is such a nice guy, but I think he is flawed in that he's not extremely patient. But like with Loxodon patience, it's very different. Like he could wait 3 days and finally be like, I've waited long enough, whereas like, you know, human people wait 15 minutes. So I think he still waits there. I'm going to give him that. I think he still waits like the 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever. Just standing there, even if other people have left, waiting for this, you know, whatever to happen.
Yeah, you see people come and go. And at some point, one of the guys comes by and I'll kind of look at you. I was like, it's not going to be ready, sir. You might want to find an inn for the night and we will be good in the morning.
Thank you for this advice. I will return tomorrow.
And does he return in the morning?
He does not. He didn't want to lie to him, but he's kind of already over it. I think he knows gold was stolen from him, but he didn't want to look like a fool there. So he'll take a different way.
Yeah, sure. And you take a different way. And
if I'm in a town or if I stay in an inn, I guess perhaps maybe seeing if someone has like a coach that is going the way I need to go just to get there a little faster.
Oh, easy. You can find one guy. Get my name generator up and going.
Coaches, coaches.
Coaches, coaches. It'll be Telsic Coach. He looks like a cute little furbolg man. In blues, his hair bright, fiery red. He looks like a little farmer type, and he'll offer you a spot on the wagon for you to hop on. He has like giant oxen pulling it. And he'll happily give you a ride all the way down to Crimson Look.
Okay. I say to him, is there anything wrong with your wagon?
None that I'm aware of, sir.
And how much for the ride?
Well, if you give me good company, I wouldn't mind a thing.
You are too kind. I'll provide good company and a form of payment.
Well, shucks, mister, that sounds great. Thanks.
Don't call me mister.
What name would you like,
call
sir?
Call me... That was my dad. Call me Balfour.
Balfour. Gotcha, sir. He'll happily chatter your ear off as you travel. And as you go on and you get to the Crimson Look, you'll see the train come on by. The same time you arrive in town on the wagon.
Oh, okay. And how long did it take to get there by wagon?
Is Abon used to do the math again?
You can make up something. I just want to know how many days like I would have been standing.
Was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's enough. Dang it.
8 days by wagon. It would have been several days by standing. You happily go on your way, and he had the greatest time telling you about all the things.
I want to say I collected some stories. You can tell me if they were worthy later. If not, I'll throw that piece of jewelry away immediately.
You can make up the stories you got on the spot.
Great.
So you journey on the road. There comes this. See, don't look at the chat. Don't.
I'm a professional. Fine. When I need to talk, I'll be ready to talk.
As you travel the road, up ahead, it's easy to see. There seems to be a very small thing on the ground. Just kind of hanging there. Labored breathing. You can see what appears to be like a butterfly wing kind of pop up and down. But there's a tear. And then you see a cart go on by. The creature on the ground. The creature tries to reach for it, and they just go on past.
The cart just keeps rolling?
The cart keeps on rolling, and you're on foot again, past the look towards Honey Run, somewhere close in your journey. And you see a little tiny hand, and that's probably a fairy on the ground. Kind of like reaching up for help, but being overlooked by carts that go past or walkers that go past.
What's the typical thought about fairies at this time?
Fairies at this time, they are lesser beings. They're either used for menial tasks, maids, barely paid wages, or sometimes just slave labor, depending on where you are and what kind of city you're in, who owns them. This one just seems to be tossed aside to the ground, perhaps useless to whoever had them once before.
I'll quickly go over and I'll scoop the fairy up in my hands.
They seem to be about little baby size.
Oh my gosh.
Fairies are small. They come in different sizes. Her hair is in tatters. She has bright blue eyes that reflect the sky. Complete and utter mess. Her clothes look like they were made from a potato sack. And she'll kind of like flinch at like being kind of like touched, like not sure if your hold was going to be to kick her or.
Oh gosh, she's afraid. She's afraid of me.
Yeah, she's afraid of you. Yeah.
And I'll say, little one, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. What is your name?
They called me Little Fire for a while, and another. They called me a Butterfly, and other. I got other names that were taken, and I don't really have one.
What do you call yourself?
Me. I call me. That's
me. I will call you me. Names are important.
She'll nod meekly. They are important. You're right.
How did you end up here?
Oh, my previous master was not happy. I dropped a whole box and spilt all the goods. It was a bunch of cabbages.
Avon, cannot do this to me. I'm already in the verge with this freaking chat going on here. You can't drop this on me. I'll say, I'll take you back to the inn and have them nurse you back to health. I have to be on my way somewhere, but I will make sure that you are cared for.
That was very kind. What do I pay for the favor? I don't have much.
Nothing. I will take care of all the things you need. How close are we? I know this is kind of an exchange point, so I'm like at a town, right?
You can easily find a town right down the road. The road from the main road has little towns every once in a while, and you're not too far from one. Okay. And you can easily set her up.
Yeah, I would like to. So I'm going to go to closest inn, and I'm gonna like. If that's the way people feel about kind of fairies or whatever, I want to bring her in kind of under the radar, but talk to whoever's working at the inn for who has a room. Excuse me, are you able to provide me with lodging?
Oh, yes, sir. That's no problem. I can help you out.
Real quick, Avon. For my character's knowledge, how much time do I have before I need to get to Oishin? Where in my head that I think I need to see him?
You have a few flux days based on weather. You maybe have maybe like a day wiggle room. But if you push it off any further, you might not make it on time.
Okay, that makes a decision for me. I will say, I need you to provide a room for me, and then I'll hold the fairy out. This is me until she is better. How much per night?
They'll look at the little fairy a little confused. Well, how long? She gonna, well, I guess for better, I mean, we can take care of a fairy, that's no problem.
How much per night for a room?
For someone as small as that, probably like, 10 copper pieces per day.
I am not good with math. Here are 3 gold pieces.
to care for her while I am gone. Once I return, in a week's time, I expect her to be tip-top shape.
You got it. We'll take good care for me.
And I want to get down to like, or I don't know if she's like standing or laying or whatever. I want to get down to eye level and say, me.
Yeah.
I will be back for you.
Okay.
You will serve no master, but gain a friend.
She'll nod nervously.
And then my trunk will come up. You'll see if it was cameras to like go to where her hand is.
Mm-hmm.
As like shake on it. I've seen humans do this.
Oh, she'll like reach out and her arm's real frail, right? You can tell. And she'll like put her little tiny hand on your big giant hand.
I'll do most of the work. I'll bring the trunk over to her.
Yeah, or your trunk, and just try to like do a handshake. What do I call my friend?
Call me friend.
Okay. Now you have a new friend, Devin.
It's me.
Or Balfour.
I'm my best friend.
And I imagine you say your goodbyes in the morning, make sure that she's taken care of, and you're off in a rush to make sure that you get there on time. And I think with your nose, you smell it way before you see it. The nipping breeze of the grasslands long past you, the sweet floral scent taking its place, reminiscent of the vision you had a couple months back. It feels fresh and different from your home. The warm winds of spring greet you. You hear distant sounds of buzzing, the bumbling of bees that are waking from the changing of the weather, little bugs visiting the new blooms of soon-to-be colorful sea of flowers. The scene almost feels warm and picturesque in a way, ever so vivid. You spot the windmills that you remember, but never have seen before, as well as the buildings and the homes and the barns. Businesses off in the distance, even the beehives dotting the green fields, as well as other farming lands for other crops too. But the one that stood out most against the scenery was a large willowy tree in shades of emerald that seemed to tower over most of its budding brethren in the area. However, it did not appear as if it was dying from what you recall in your mind's eye. As you journey towards it, you see a familiar winter Eladrin man ahead of you. His skin is pale as fresh blue frost. His hair is stark contrast of raven-colored black. He leans heavily on his scabbard as if it was a useful walking stick. He then struggles to stay on his feet, his armor clinking as he stumbles forward, his movements labored. An older gentleman with a bird in his hair goes to help him up while a rabbit folk pushes forward, drawing a weapon, but also applying aid after a moment's chat of hostility.
I will quickly put myself in almost like box out the Harangon.
Uh-huh.
And if he's kind of stumbling, what I'll do is I'll wrap my trunk around him to hold him up and kind of turn him to me and say, "Oi, what is wrong?"
"I'm not doing well," but he looks sickly. You can see it in his skin. It's just like sweaty, right? His eyes that were bright, vibrant purple were now dulled. And he looks at you as like, "Could you lend me your strength?"
And I will. I will cast Cure Wounds. Like through my, I feel like you see the light. Like as I like concentrate, comes out through my trunk and around him, and kind of like shines around him. I don't know if you need those numbers, Avon, or if it's just the action that counts.
It's the action that counts. It's your one shot, or one on one shot, whatever.
Yeah.
And with that is where we'll end. Thank you, Devin.
No, thank you, Ava.
Anyway, just because we're doing our one-on-ones does not mean we're stopping our roles for humanity. We still need to help friends in need. Could you tell me what we got going on?
Yeah, the patrons selected ASPCA, which is an attempt to make a difference for animals. So we're trying to stop animal abuse. So taking pets away that are in bad homes and hopefully put them in good homes. I don't have pets, but I know a lot of you guys do love pets. We've had pets that love pets. No one should be abused. And so we're going to roll for that to give money to try to prevent that. So the roll today, if I can get the roll to work correctly. I have too many screens. This one shot took a lot of power for me to keep on track. I say as I have to control the one thing.
Just the one thing. I have everything else, Devin.
You're right. Hey, we rolled an 8 for ASPCA. It's
hooray,
pretty good.
We got an 8.
Here's what I'll say. If you don't roll, what is my life? What does it even matter what I've become? What do you think I should do if you're not going to go out and roll? What is your life worth if you're not willing to help someone else? To lay down a few bucks. If you don't roll, my character will eat me. These are comments.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great. You're packed with your character on how that works.
Yep.
All right. Well, like we always say, Devin.
We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.